Oh, hi there. Oh, you caught me off guard. I was just over here watering the daisies. Anyway, my name's Kellen Conley, and I host the world's greatest podcast, Hyphenation. And it's not just the world's greatest podcast, it's the Barack Obama approved world's greatest podcast. If you want to find out why Barack approved it, check it out. On Hyphenation, I talk about all kinds of topics. Pop culture, current events, news, TV, entertainment, movies, you name it, I probably want to talk about it. I'm a diverse kind of guy. Talk about my friends and family in a good way. Don't want anybody to get any ideas. Talk about sports, you know. I like to shoot the old hoops sometimes. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, I've been doing this podcast for a while and I would just love it, gee golly willikers, if you would check it out. Trust me, I'm a lot of fun. Trust me. Got a lot of practice, too. Anyway, though, if you want to check out Hyphenation, you can just Google it. We're on all the podcast listening platforms. If you don't want to Google it, you can go to Hyphen Podcast Group. That's the podcast and network that I am a part of, with a great team of other podcasts that you can check out, too. And if you do that, well, I appreciate it. Just let me know what you think of the show. That's all I ask. So, yeah, Hyphenation. H-Y-P-H-E-N space nation, or hyphenation. You know how you hyphenate words? Well, my show is literally called Hyphenation, because I used to rap under the name of B-Hyphen. Sometimes I still rap when an occasion calls for it, but that's beside the point. Here is the thing. Please check us out. Check us out. Check me out at Hyphenation. Yeah, Hyphen Podcast Group, hyphenpodcastgroup.com. I really appreciate it. All right, you have a great day, all right?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, folks and jokes, everyone there, who you know, whoever you may be, welcome back. Ooh, pardon me. Welcome back to the premier podcast for reviewing live entertainment. It's Catch the Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, EG, aka Ghost Dog, here with another brand spanking new episode for your podcast listening pleasure. Yes, that's right. It's episode 33, ladies and gentlemen, on the podcast shine, which, by the way, I don't really know what that means, but shout out to Hyphen for embedding it into my membrane whenever I listen to podcasts now. Which, by the way, if you listen to my show, you should be listening to Hyphen's show as well, if you are not. I would take it that you are. If you're listening to my show, then you're listening to a lot of the Hyphen Podcast Group shows, you know, such as the, I always want to say Lemonade Podcast. It's not Lemonade. It's the, let me get this correct. All right. So listening to shows like the Hyphenation, of course. Isla Pal, which stands for It's Like a Podcast or whatever. Catch the Show. You gotta be listening to Catch the Show, right? Lemon on the Edge is another show on the Hyphen Podcast Group. I Black Man, Victory Jump Off Radio, Fantasy Football Bosses, Browns in Our Blood. There's even one called Buzzsaw Hyphen that I am not familiar with. But hey, maybe we should go check that one out when we get the time. Hyphen Podcast Group, bunch of shows to choose from, a lot of stuff to listen to. There is no excuse for why you are not listening to at least two of our shows. Two of the shows on the Hyphen Podcast Group. I always want to say the Hyphen Podcast Network. but the Hyphen Podcast Group, Hyphen Podcast Network, coming soon. I'm just putting that out there. I don't know if there's any plans for it, but I'm just putting it out there. On top of the talk about the Hyphen Podcast Group and all the lovely shows, all the lovely podcast shows you have to choose from, part of it, that you could listen to anytime, any time of day. We have a Patreon, which you've most likely just heard or have heard a drop before on, that you can support, help us support the Hyphen Podcast Group website. So this is simply to help us keep that website up and going, so that you can just simply go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com and choose from the shows there and find what podcast streaming service, I guess, if that's the right correct, or podcast platform that fits you. You know, find out which shows are on which ones for you. If you're listening to this show, catch the show. If you're catching the show on Apple Podcasts, for example, you can find the other shows on there as well. Or if you listen to it on Spotify or Anchor or Stitcher, you know, you can find which shows are on there. We're pretty much on all those together. But you go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com. You can find all the shows there. And also listed is where we're, what platforms and streaming services we are on. And yeah, that's why the hyphenpodcastgroup.com, the site, is up. And you hit that Patreon link in the description for this show and go support. Give us $1, $2, $5, whatever you feel is reasonable, so we can keep that site going and make it easier for you to listen to the show, any of our shows. So that's basically what that is about. So yes, hit the Hyphen Podcast Patreon link. Check out the Patreon. Look at some of the tiers and see if any of those tiers interest you, to where you can donate whatever the amount of the tiers that you feel like fits you and catches your best interest. Do that, please. Do that. Yes. And, yeah, so few things first up. a few things first up to take note of before we really get into the episode. One, I am I'm not fighting off. I am coming off of a cold. It's a little cold I had. I've learned over the past couple of years that I am very vulnerable in the winter. So, yeah, winter gets me. Fall a cold, like, right after Christmas. And I fought this one off pretty good. I'm coming off of it, but voice is maybe you hear it, but voice is not 100%. So pardon the roughness or hoarse you may hear, or cough here and there you may hear from yours truly. So that's one thing I want to take note of. Second thing being, this episode is going to be a little shorter than normal. I mean, we normally keep it around between an hour and a half. Older episodes would go to 2 hours, but I'm trying to keep it below them. But this episode might be a little shorter, just due to a few things, a few other notes to take note of, which is very lack of music news. There's some things that have happened since the last episode I did music news, which for those who didn't catch up on the last episode or heard what I'm doing now, I'm doing the catch up, still doing the catch up, but the catch up will take place of the music news every other episode. So next episode, there will be a catch up, no music news. In the episode following, there will be no catch up, there will be music news, and so on and so forth. But, and that's mostly because it's, it keeps the episodes from getting bloated, you know, getting music news and then getting a catch up and then getting a show review can take an episode past an hour and a half. While some of you will graciously do not care about time length with your podcast, you know, you probably work out or cook or, you know, etc. while listening to your podcast, so time length is not too much of a thing for you. But some people I do know are weary of how long a show can be. And you know, if you're listening to one podcast, you're probably listening to several others. So, you know, give a leeway for you to listen to your other episodes, your new episodes that you like to catch up on and whatnot. But yeah. So music news right now is a little scarce because it's still the beginning of the year. And So I don't have much music news, music related news to really get into. But I do have something different I'll be doing, which I'll get to in shortly. But then on top of that too, why this episode will be a little short is because the show I'm talking about, which is Josh Groban, I saw Josh Groban months ago, and I recorded a very awkward episode, review for that show, which you will hear shortly. And I just want to apologize in advance because it's probably my worst review yet. Maybe there's a worse one that I've forgotten about. You guys are the judge of that. But it's just simply, I could not find it was a different show to review, to talk about. I wasn't necessarily out of my element, but it was just different. It was just different than what the other shows I have reviewed and talked about were to just talk about, basically, to get into. And Josh Groban is an artist that I'm scarcely familiar with, so that's one thing. And if you ask, what were you even doing at Josh Groban's show? It was work related. Said that before a few times, people. Part of my life, job wise, contributes to this show. Concerts. So that is one thing. So I just wanted to give you that notice up ahead of time. Apologies if you get halfway through the concert review portion and you're just like, you know what, this is not worth my time. I understand. I wish I had another show that I could insert right afterwards, because now I would just do two and one to make up for it. But some of the other reviews I've did for I have done reviews for shows for that I've seen are a little lengthy and deserve their own episode. So I'll just say the next couple episodes will make up for this one if this one doesn't do it for you. But apologies in advance regardless. With that being said, let's get into the little bit of music news we have, which is just about, news worthy wise, very small. But let's talk about 21 Savage, which we haven't had a chance to talk about. 21 Savage, of course, you may have heard the Atlanta rapper was detained by ICE not too long ago. It's only been a few weeks. It hasn't even been near a month, close to a month. Happened a few weeks ago. 21 Savage was detained by ICE. I kind of want to say it was because of his lyrics in his track A Lot, his performance on what was it? It wasn't Saturday Night Live, was it? I don't think that was where it was. Can't remember, but I do feel like that did have some play in ICE coming after him specifically, but that's just a conspiracy theory, me playing into that theory, whatever. But yeah, he was detained by ICE. Is detained the correct word? He was arrested, I guess is better, by ICE. And turned out he was originally from England. Came to the States when he was a young lad, to say. Grew up in Atlanta, basically. So he's still from Atlanta, but he's originally from England. My only question regarding that part right there is, did he have a British accent when he came over? Like, was he already fluent in English? I mean, of course, he was fluent in English, but I mean, like, did he have an accent and then just over time it turned into a southern accent? I don't know. That's what I want to know. Pardon me, guys, like I said. But that's what I want to know. That's what I'm most concerned with regarding this. Does 21 Savage have a British accent? That's what I care to know. No, that's not what I care to know. And yeah, this created a storm all over the internet. 21 Savage is a rapper that is a pretty much, a lot of people like him. He's not just popular in the sense of course, he's successful and well-known, but he's popular in the sense that he, across all boards, people like him pretty much. I am kind of on the fence with him. I do kind of like him. I like what he's been doing of recently with his way of giving back to the community and getting progressing as a rapper since the, bank account track, and whatnot, which I did like. But I was not, I've never really been a 21 Savage fan. His style, it just ain't for me, straight up. But yeah, because he is so popular amongst all different kinds of hip-hop fans, this definitely made storm. This definitely was news that just took off and had a lot of people talking. And it's very interesting. Very interesting, to say the least. Just funny how it first played out. That's what I mean. Because it started with memes. The response was memes, to the point it just got out of hand, to the point, I guess, where Demi Lovato commented on it. She was just like, oh, these 21 Savage memes are funnier than the Super Bowl or something like that. And people attacked her, and she ended up deleting her Twitter account. And apparently people were tagging her going at her recent overdose, which just isn't cool alone. And my whole thing with that is people can be completely stupid online because you're making memes of this situation that really isn't funny. I mean, I didn't find any of the memes funny. I mean, I definitely saw the humor in them, but I didn't really find any of it funny because the whole time I'm thinking, if he's really caught by ICE, that's serious. Like, that's not cool. Like, ICE is doing some, it's kind of an extreme comparison, but a couple kids have died, but concentration camp, it just, what they're doing is very scary and eerily similar. They're not killing anyone, but they are taking people for who they are, for, their ethnicity. Of course, that's one thing. If they're originally from this country or not, and they're detaining them and they're separating families. And it's the whole thing, of course, to any decent human being is fucked up and not cool. So the fact that it happened to 21 Savage is the same. It's not cool. It's fucked up. And for the first response for the internet to be memes, which, yeah, it's the internet, but still not cute to me. I didn't find it funny. But at the same time, for everyone to sort of attack Demi Lovato for laughing at these stupid memes they're making, as if she's the one making them, it's stupid. It was stupid. She didn't deserve that. Very double standard. Very hypocritical. You're making the memes. Attack the people who are making the fucking memes. Because if you don't find the situation funny for her to be laughing at them, then you shouldn't find the situation funny to be laughing at the memes at all. Or that the memes be created at all in the first place. That aside, though, Fast forward, he's been released. Jay-Z got him a lawyer. He's been released. I don't know if there's further investigation going on, or if there's more to this situation that's going to happen, like if there's going to be court, whatever, a trial, I don't know. But 21 Savage, he is out. He's been free from the hands of ICE. It was all news and all that. And not to pull out a soapbox or anything, you know, because I don't want to be a keyboard warrior or a social justice warrior or whatever, but I tweeted about the Demi thing because I thought that was stupid. And I felt like not enough people were coming out and saying, calling out how backwards that was to attack her for laughing at something that should have been attacked itself. But I just found it. I was just kind of pretty much like, okay. Seemed like we cared more about this rapper getting free from ICE than all these families, all these hundreds of families that have been separated. I mean, two kids, I believe, are dead because of ICE. Died in ICE's hands. And I'm not going to act like nobody cared. A lot of people cared. It was news. That's how I know about it. You know, it was news. But just the how quick this progress was for 21 Savage. And just Jay-Z comes out and gets him a lawyer. And next thing we know, he's free. And literally, this happened in what? The span of 2 weeks? It feels like maybe 2 weeks. It feels like this happened. God, I wish there was some families that could have gotten that same treatment. I mean, and again, not trying to sound like some activist or some soapbox preacher or whatever, like whatever. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm just calling it like it is because I don't feel like a lot of people are really saying that. I'm pretty sure there's some people who feel the same way and have voiced this opinion on their platform as well. So that's what I'm doing too, because I have not really seen much of it. But yeah. Just the what do we want to call it? The social standard or I don't know what do we call it? Just the hierarchy, I guess, you know, popular rapper, you know, same thing that has happened to tons of families from this country that were living in this country for years, but weren't originally from this country. Same thing happened to those people happens to a popular rapper. Rapper gets out quicker than any of those people even did when they got detained. And those people still are probably stuck in there. For sure. So, yeah, that's how I feel about the whole thing. Happy he's free. Good for him. I'm not like, no, he needs to go back there and stay with the families and the people who are still stuck in there and couldn't get a lawyer from Jay-Z. I don't know. I'm not like, okay. He's got some privilege because he is a celebrity. He's a well-known celebrity. He's got some privilege like that. If there was any other celebrities that were caught up in this ICE situation as well with these camps, and they had any privilege that could be used to get them and their family members out, especially if it was like, say, me in that kind of situation, I have any privilege to get out of that with my family and loved ones, yeah, I would want to use it. I would want any possible way to get out of that. Anybody would feel that way. So, you know, I don't fault 21 Savage for that. I can't really fault anyone other than ICE for the whole situation. ICE, fuck ICE. But just the way this whole thing has gone down, just the way it went, just kind of left a funny taste in my mouth. Just how, I don't know, like, we were more concerned with getting this rapper out than any of the families for this few times. Like, that was more of the big deal. regarding ice. I don't know. That's just how it looked for a minute. But now he's free. And I hope the best thing to come out of this is that maybe there's a bigger story. Like, hopefully 21 Savage, he takes his teeth from this point. He sort of, it makes him more of an activist fighting against ICE. Maybe he saw something that's now going to light a fire under him to maybe, you know, really shine more light and really put this whole ICE situation with these families, you know, the immigration and just what's going on. It's going to really be the rapper while hip hop is popular right now to put that in the limelight and really put that in the right perspective for so many people, really bring it to a lot of people's attention who maybe don't give a fuck or really haven't been paying attention to what's going on. So hopefully that's the way I can look at it in the end, is maybe 21 Savage will, maybe he will, you know, be the guy to say, hey, this is what I saw, this is real, and there's a lot of families still in there dealing with this, and we got to do something. Because there's no one fighting for these families. There's no one fighting ICE, helping these families out. Like, what can you do? And it's so hopefully someone can do something, or someone can come up with something that we can start contributing to, or they can start playing out to help get these families out. Because while ICE is following government orders or federal orders, wherever it may be, still doesn't feel lawfully right. Still doesn't feel right. I mean, it isn't. Just straight up. So, yeah. Hopefully, the best thing I can look at regarding 21 and this whole ICE situation, this whole ICE fiasco, as I have it listed in my notes, is 21 can, or someone can bring more attention to this than there was before, other than, oh, the rapper, they got a rapper as well for a minute. Or that 21 Savage was originally from England. Who gives a fuck? All right. The fact that ICE was able to even get him should be very concerning, at least to some people. So yeah, that was that. Next up, on a still sour note, this is new to me, so pardon if I don't have all my information correct. I only have this New York Times article to go off of regarding Ryan Adams, singer-songwriter Ryan Adams, and these, I guess we say sexual assault, or these allegations against him. Pretty heavy allegations, to say at least. I guess some Ryan Adams, singer-songwriter. I'm familiar with him. I can't name a song by him to save my life. I'm not a super fan of his. I'm really not a fan at all, honestly. It's not that I have anything against him or anything like that. Just not my cup of tea. Just not my kind of music. That's all. So I really have no connection to this story other than I know who Ryan Adams is. But yeah, just feels like it happened. I guess it feels like it happened today. Maybe it happened yesterday. Maybe it broke yesterday. But today it became well aware to me. This story of Ryan Adams. And it's a lot to really jump into. The link will be in the description of the show for you to hit and read this whole article by the New York Times regarding Ryan Adams, and pretty much just breaks down a few of the women seven women, I guess, total that this is regarding, or that have at least come out and spoken. But it pretty much, this article just talks about these seven, these women, various women, from Mandy Moore, who was his ex-wife, to another singer-songwriter, Phoebe Bridges, who is very new. I like some of her songs. She's really good. And to this, just basically some of these women who are just pretty much, I don't know if preyed upon is the correct word, but just he basically is just another tale of another man in the entertainment industry using his power on women to try to get some sort of sexual encounter or something just sexually related. It's gross. And not surprising at this point. I mean, we know what's going on with the Me Too movement and the hashtag Me Too movement. And so for another artist or celebrity to be revealed to have done similar things, others, other people who have been outed by this, it's not surprising. I mean, surprising regarding who it is accused, being accused of it, but just the actions of it are not that shocking. I mean, this is a problem. It's a problem going on, man. It's been going on for long enough, and now these artists and now these guys are being outed. Now these people are being outed for what they did and what they've done. It's gone on too long. I mean, you read this article, and just probably the most shocking part of it, because like I said, most of it is just like, that doesn't surprise me. You know, the things he's done to some of these women, you know, just sort of really coercing them with promises of you know, success and just success and you know, pretty much the beginning of a career, pretty much a career in music. And just sort of, really, it's just him sort of trying to use his status to make moves and have sex with these women, basically. That's all it really is. I mean, Phoebe Bridgers tells how she agreed to open for him, even though she knew what his intentions were from a previous encounter with him before she got a little big. But she agreed to open for him, and I can't. Let me see if I can find it here. It says exactly, but well, I'll get to it. You can read it for yourself. But basically, she agreed to open for him, and one day he asked her to bring something to his hotel room, and she gets there, and he's naked, for her, and. You know, after that, he rescinded, I believe he rescinded the opening gig and anything he promised her, because she turned him down. Yeah, it's just kind of, it's just gross that this was a thing, or is a thing. I mean, that was just one encounter. There's another one with a girl named Ava, and it says that Ava's actually her middle name, so it's, you know, to just use that name for her to for her identity to be protected. But Ava, who is now 20, was a young bass player, a teenage bass player, who he started talking to, and they got very. And he was in his 30s. She was between the ages 13 to 16 during this time. And they're sending, it says between the two, their extensive communication went on for over a 9-month period when she was 15 and 16, and they exchanged 3,217 text messages. That's a fucking lot of text messages. Between a grown man and a teenage girl. Ugh. And yeah, he was telling her to send her pics of her, revealing pics of herself, and he revealed himself in Skype chats and stuff, and it's dirty, and that's just sort of the manipulative part of it. I mean, when it gets to like his relationship with Mandy Moore and his other ex-wife, let me see, I'm trying to find it. Who was his? Let me see. Trying to find. Pick. What is the name of his last? Let me see. Pardon my. Courtney. Another artist, Courtney J. He tried to. Did the same things with, pretty much when it gets to his marriages is where it really, or just his real, his actual relationships is where it gets really comforting. Mandy Moore, who is his ex-wife, just their whole relationship emotionally, just him being manipulative and emotionally abusive, and that along with him doing the same thing, pardon me, yeah, my voice, him doing the same thing with his ex-fiance, Megan Butterworth. And yeah, basically this whole article just lays out he's not a good dude. Creeper, pretty much. Just a dick, if anything I could really say. I mean, just read the article. It's really nothing new. The dude, this is definitely another Me Too situation of just a man who's been getting a man in the business, the entertainment business, who's been abusing his power to, you know, you lure women in with sex and whatnot. And yeah, it's just gross. It's just gross. And, yeah, I don't have too much to say about it because I don't really have much of an opinion on Ryan Adams himself or his music or anything like that. And just like, it is a very straightforward thing. Like, yeah, he's a piece of shit. And yeah, you know, I mean, this is exactly what the Me Too movement is for. For instances and situations like this, for people like this who've just been doing this wicked kind of shit where it's just, you know, abusing your power to take advantage of women. Come on now. I mean, like, all, most of these stories are all women, like, they're all women just trying to do art, to just make music, to sort of make a living like he is, and he can't simply help them. He's got to sort of use them to get off his okay. It's just gross, and it's what you've heard, similar stories, Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby. Unfortunately, nobody's been drugged or anything like that, or I don't think, I didn't get to any points in the story where he forced anybody or raped anybody, but just sort of the ongoing story of men using their power to get women to do sexual things with them. But that's basically it with him. And yeah, I mean, he was with a minor, though. That is the grossest thing so far within it. But yeah, check out the article so you can read it for yourself. And yeah, I mean, this is definitely doesn't make me want to check out his music anytime soon, of course. I mean, why would it? But yeah. So yeah, screw Ryan Adams. That's all I'll say on that. So moving to the last bit of music news. I bet you were expecting me to talk about the Grammys, huh? Well, fuck the Grammys. I don't care about the Grammys. I don't really care about any award shows. Award shows are what they are. There are shows to show off awards. And whoever wins those awards, it doesn't really matter. There's no legitimacy in the Grammys to me. All my favorite artists ever, very few of them have actually won Grammys. So, but yeah. So no Grammy talk. Sorry if you expect me to talk about the Grammys. I don't give a fuck about the Grammys. The Grammys can suck dick. but what I will talk about, though, what I will talk about is tours. This is a show about catching shows, right? About catching concerts. So why have I not talked about tours and tour announcements and whatnot? Crazy, right? I mean, what's going on with me here? What's up with that? So yeah, this is something I will now be making part of the music news, because there's very little music news here and there, but there's always tour announcements. It is music related and it is news. So why am I not talking about that? Yes. So first tour announcement we have is Kali Uchis and Georgia Smith are going on tour. If you are together, why did I interrupt myself with a pause like that? Yeah, but no, what I was going to say, if you're a fan of Kali Uchis or Georgia Smith, or if you just like want to hear some good new modern R&B, then you might want to catch the young ladies on their tour, simply titled the Kali and Georgia Tour. Kali Uchis, Georgia Smith, they're two of, I can't really say my favorite, but they're definitely two artists in R&B right now that I really like what they're doing. Kali Uchis is becoming my favorite. Georgia Smith, I really like her voice. Kind of liked her debut album. I think she'll do better on the next album, though. But both of their debut albums, which came out last year, Kali Uchis being Isolation, Georgia Smith's being Lost and Found, both pretty good. Check them out if you haven't. I might want to check this tour out, because I do like their music. I have seen Kali Uchis live. Saw Kali Uchis open for Lana Del Rey. Was it last year? I believe it was last year. Really, she's really good live. Yeah, I would recommend you go catch this tour if you get the chance. The Kali and Georgia tour, Kali Uchis and Georgia Smith, both really good, talented artists in music today, and really contributing some really good music to the R&B genre at that. And the first date, this tour kicks off April 28th in Washington, D.C., not too far from me, at the Anthem. I've been to the Anthem. Anthem's a really good venue. Arguably one of the best in D.C. So, yeah, if you live in D.C. and you want to go check out this tour, April 28th, I don't believe tickets are on sale yet, but go check to be sure. Try to get them tickets to go see the Kali and Georgia tour. Billie Eilish, I believe that's how you say it. Billie Eilish, weird, creepy, new alternative pop artist in the game. She's just making a lot of noise. Making a lot of noise, say, in music right now. Billie Eilish, she is about to go on tour soon on the When We All Fall Asleep tour. It's in anticipation of her upcoming debut album, When We All Fall Asleep. Is it Where Do We Go? I think that's what it's called. When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? I think that is what the album is called. Let me just double check that really quick. Billie Eilish, what is the name of your debut album, Billie? When we all fall asleep, where do we go? That is definitely the name of the album, her debut album, which comes out March 29th. Yeah, she's going on tour for that. And she's bringing with her, of all people, Denzel Curry, rapper Denzel Curry, who put out one of the best rap albums of 2018 last year. And I would say go catch that show, but apparently it's been sold out on the the whole tour is sold out. So, hey, Billie's got big things going on, big things. So good for them. Billie Eilish and Denzel Curry, the When We All Fall Asleep tour, coming, kicking off April 24th in Auckland, New Zealand. So all of you down under who listen to this show, get ready. Billie and Denzel are coming your way April 24th. Yeah, so there's that. I was thinking, hey, maybe me and my friend who likes Billie, we could go check out that show, and then I can get to see Denzel Curry as well. But the tickets were pretty pricey to begin with anyway. I've even seen some people really complain about the ticket prices. And then the damn thing sold out or whatever. So there's no point of even talking about that anymore. Moving on. If you're a fan of rapper Jid, one of the most popular artists off of the Dreamville label other than J. Cole, who's not named Jermaine Cole, then hey, catch Jid on his Catch Me If You Can tour. It's going to be on its second leg soon, and he's bringing some special guests such as Saba. So if you liked that Care For Me album that came out last year that was really good by Saba, then hey man, might want to catch this tour. Well, that's if you like the Care For Me album and DiCaprio 2 and the Never Story, which are by Jid. And maybe go catch this this tour when it comes your way. Not only that, but Mariba, I think that's how you say her name, Mariba or Mareba. I think it's Mariba, but she's an up-and-coming Atlanta R&B artist. She's really good. That's alone right there is a reason for me to want to attempt to see this show, see this tour, along with another artist by the name of Deontay Hitchcock, who I'm not super familiar with, but it's gotta be good if he's on this tour. So yeah, Catch Me If You Can, second leg of the tour, is kicking off in DC too, May 3rd, actually. And it's at the Fillmore, which is actually in Silver Springs, Maryland. It's not in D.C. It's in Silver Springs, Maryland, the Fillmore. So, yeah, if you want to catch them and you live in that area, and you want to catch this tour, just know it's coming May 3rd to the Fillmore in Silver Springs, Maryland. For my rock people, pay attention to more of my rock people. Polyphia. Prog rock, math rock type band. It's hard to really distinguish what they are, but yeah, if you like Polyphia and you like all that guitar noodling and melodies and whatnot that they do, then hey, they are about to head out on a tour called Look But Don't Touch Tour in support of their album that came out last year, which New Levels, New Devils, which is an album I really did enjoy. It's a good album. Just groovy guitar licks and riffs and whatnot all over a thing. And it's just a good album. But yeah, they're doing the Look But Don't Touch tour with another band I'm a fan of, Eye the Mighty. I'm going to see Eye the Mighty soon. Hopefully they're coming out with another album this year. And it's only been a year since their last album came out in 2017. But yeah, I the Mighty and another band by the name of Ty the Man. Heard of them, but not too familiar with them. But I the Mighty alone is a good fit with Polyphia. I take it Ty the Man would be a good fit as well. But yeah, it's a good lineup right there for that show. And it kicks off April Fool's Day. So if you live in New Orleans, and you're going to and you want to go to the House of Blues and catch this show April 1st, it's not going to be a joke. It will be actually happening as far as I know. If you don't believe me, go look up, go check out the tour dates and whatnot for that Polyphia and the Look But Don't Touch tour. April 1st, New Orleans, House of Blues is when it kicks off. More dates and whatnot can be found on Polyphia's website and social medias and all that, of course. Same thing for all the other tours I just mentioned. And last but not least, to top that lineup of a tour, Coheed and Cambria and Mastodon are going on tour together on a joint tour called the Unheavenly Sky Tour. Yes. Coheed and Cambria just coming off of their recent album, which was called the Unheavenly. The Unheavenly Creatures? That's correct. The Unheavenly Creatures. They're coming off of that album. And yeah, so they're going to be, of course, playing songs from that album. And of course, some of the songs we all know them for. Of course, you know, Welcome Home, The Suffering, Why Am I Blacking Out on Songs by Coheed and Cambria. You know Coheed and Cambria. You know who they are. And yeah, Mastodon, though, that's the one thing that really got me. Mastodon will be performing Crack the Sky in its entirety, the Crack the Sky album in its entirety, which is a good-ass album. So, if you're a Mastodon fan and you're a Coheed and Cambria fan, then you definitely want to go check this tour out, at least to see Mastodon do Crack the Sky from beginning to end. That would be awesome. But if that's not enough for you, also coming along for this tour as a special guest is Every Time I Die, who I can attest to put on a kick-ass show. All these artists, all three of these artists, I have seen live myself at least once. And yeah, these bands know how to fucking play. These bands know how to put on a hell of a show. Every Time I Die is just nuts. Mastodon will get your head banging like a motherfucker. And Coheed and Cambria are just a great live band to witness. So yeah, I might have to catch this show. I might have to go to this. And there's not, the dates aren't that close to me, but I might have to make a trip for this. But yeah. Tour kicks off in Louisville, Kentucky at the Iroquois Amphitheater. Iroquois Amphitheater. Why did I have a hard time saying that? On May 28th. So if you are in any way interested in seeing Coheed and Cambria and Mastodon with Every Time I Die on the Unheavenly Sky Tour, then you might want to go look this up on the band's social medias and websites and try to get yourself some tickets to this tour. It does sound pretty awesome. I might have to do this show. This is, of all the ones I named, that's the one that sounds the most interesting to me. But yes, let's run through this again. Caliucci's and Georgia Smith are doing the Cali and Georgia tour. Kicks off April 28th in D.C. at the Anthem. Billie Eilish is doing the When We All Fall Asleep tour with special guest Denzel Curry. That is sold out, but maybe you can find some tickets or something to one of the dates, which will be kicking off April 24th in Auckland, New Zealand. JID, J-I-D, he's going on the second run of his Catch Me If You Can tour, and he's bringing Saba as a special guest. And that tour, and that one kicks off May 3rd at the Fillmore in Silver Springs, Maryland. Polyphia is doing the Look But Don't Touch tour with Ida Mae and Ty the Man. That kicks off April 1st in New Orleans at the House of Blues. And last but not least, of course, is Coheed and Cambria with Mastodon doing the Unheavenly Sky tour with Every Time I Die. So, and that kicks off May 28th in Louisville, Kentucky at the Iroquois Amphitheater. All those great tours happening very soon. Get your money together and choose wisely and catch those shows. All right, so we're going to get into the Josh Groban portion of show. Again, I apologize. This is not my best review. This was a different kind of show for me to check out and for me to talk about. It was really different. Hopefully, you understand when you hear it. It really wasn't different. It was just... It was different. It was a different kind of show to take in, basically. I just was, I knew what to expect, but it was just a different feel. It was just really different feel and really different. I'm tired. I can't just keep saying different. You know what? I'm just going to leave it to you guys. Hopefully you understand it when you hear it. And yeah, that's all else I'll say about it from there. But first, let's get into one more Patreon drop just for you guys to understand this, what this Ivan podcast through Patreon is all about. I'm gonna pass it over to Kellen, aka Hyphen, the man behind the Hyphen podcast group. Take it away, Hyphen. Take it away, Kellen.
What's up, everybody? What up, though, from my Detroit people? My name is Kellen Conley, host of the world's greatest podcast, Hyphen Nation. And also, I am the founder of the Hyphen Podcast Group. Now, you may know some of our great shows like mine, Hyphen Nation, or I Black Man Podcast, or Catch the Show, or It's Like a Podcast, or whatever, or Browns in Our Blood if you're a Browns fan, or just an NFL fan in general, or Lemon on the Edge, or even Victory Jump Off Radio. But I'm here with a special announcement. Hyphen Podcast Group now has a Patreon page. Now, I didn't want to do this because, honestly, we're working on getting our numbers up. But what happens around the middle of the month is our web hosting, which is graciously provided to us by Eric Jordan of Browns in Our Blood. We forget to pay it because we have other bills, and then the site goes down. What happens is normally Catch the Show comes out on Saturday, and by the middle of the month on a Saturday, well, the site's down. And then I got a show I got to promote, and I can't do that. I mean, I can on Instagram, but I don't feel right not having everything on the site because the links on Instagram say link in the bio. So what's the point of going to link in the bio if you can't bring up the site? So start a Patreon page. Not asking for much. Just looking to get roughly about $15 a month right now. That would be enough for us to pay for the hosting each month. It's located at patreon.com/hyphenpodcastgroup. Check us out. There's tiers and rewards. You can even be on a show if you're crazy enough to pay us a bunch of money. But even if you just throw a dollar in, which is the minimum tier, that means that you get your name mentioned on a pod at any given time. There's going to be a list of Patreons, and we will say your name if you want us to on a pod, and that's kind of cool. So if you want to support us and keep the site running on a timely basis, which is what we're trying to do, please check out the Patreon, man. And again, that is patreon.com/hyphenpodcastgroup. And continue to check out our shows. Let your friends know about our shows. We're on all podcast listening platforms. And yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks, y'all.
So Some days I can't say why I'm feeling lonely. And some days I am too proud to ask for help. And I stumble through the noise, trying to find some peace. A stranger in the crowd, I lose myself. So I walk down to the river, where the troubles, they can't find me. Let the waters there remind me, the sun will be there when we wake. I walk down to the river, though I might not understand it. It's not always as we planned it, but we grow stronger when we break. So I walk down to the river.
Okay, so straight up, I'm gonna be 100% real and honest with you guys. I'm guessing because, well, I'm saying guessing because as I'm recording this, I don't know how long this part of the show will be, but I just going off of my instinct, I'm guessing this is not going to be that long because honestly, there's not too much for me to say about show we're about to review. I'll get a little more into it, but there's not that much to say about the show I'm about to talk about. Personally, not that it was, you know, not critically or anything that had to do with the show itself. It's really more of a personal thing. It's really just my issue, if you want to say that. And the show we're talking about, of course, is Josh Groban, Bridges Tour. Saw the show not too long ago. Venue, of course, being my workplace. So, you know, and I got paid to pretty much see this show. And, one of the reasons of why I don't have too much to say about this show is because I am not super familiar with Josh Groban. Well, musically, I know who Josh Groban is. You know, I recognize Josh Groban. You know, I know he's a really incredible singer. But, you know, I'm not familiar with his music. I didn't know that he's been making music since, since 2001. Well, no, I think I did know he was making music since 2001. I just haven't been really keeping up with him. That's really it. It's not that I don't like him or anything. He seems cool. It's just I don't really have much of an opinion of him. That's really my, that's really the only issue with Mr. Groban. I don't really have much of an opinion on him and his music because I'm not that familiar with him and his music. So, and that's, you know, that's my thing again. So, you know, if you're asking yourself, well, okay, why were you at this show? Again, sorry for yelling. Work related. It was work. That's pretty much it. A lot of, for those who don't know, I'm very mum on it, but you know, of course there'll be questions of how you go to all these shows and how you're able to catch so many shows and whatnot to do a show like Catch the Show. How are you able to do? Well, it's very simple. I work in an environment where I'm fortunate to see these things and get paid to see these things. Plain and simple. And, you know, a lot of these shows that I review are not really shows I would go to myself with my own hard-earned money. So instead, I get to go and earn my hard-earned money by seeing these shows. Of course, whilst working. Now, what do I do? Keep that under wraps. You know, maybe I'll reveal it someday. You know, confidential, personal reasons. just personal reasons, you know. Don't want to give all my information and stuff away like that. But yeah, that's about it. So yeah, that is why I am reviewing this concert, this show, with very little, very little to say about it. So hopefully that, you know, that is understandable to you, the listener, who may be listening to this because you're a Josh Groban fan, or because you've seen Josh Groban live, and you know, whatever. I just wanted to clarify that, of course, for those listening. Because I respect Josh Groban. I don't want to come off as if I don't like Josh Groban or anything like that. No, I think he has a great voice. I'm just not all that familiar with him to really go in depth with, oh, he did this song, he did that song, and, you know, the set list was more like this, and, you know, he didn't do this song, or whatever. Like, I really can't get too deep into that. Now, what I can get deep into is the crowd was predominantly female. It was a bit of a smaller crowd. Like, I don't know who I would say, but I don't think it was expected to be a large amount of people. So it was actually a very smaller crowd for a big venue. So in merchandise, there really wasn't any that I saw. I'm pretty sure he was selling merchandise, but I didn't see any while I was there, you know. And then on top of that, the stage was not that elaborate. The stage was nice, very simple, a little bit. This is a weird show to review, and honestly, this may be one of the worst reviews, if not the worst review yet I've done, because there's just very little to say about everything. This wasn't a boring show, this wasn't a plain show, it was just very straightforward show. There's not too much to get into, basically. So yeah, Idina Menzel, she opened for Josh Groban, and that is probably one of the more interesting things, because I do like Idina Menzel. I do know a bit of Idina Menzel. I've been following Idina Menzel since Rent. Yeah, I've just been a fan of her for a minute. I think she's gorgeous. She has a great voice, you know, and yeah, that's really all I can say regarding her. It was cool seeing her perform. She came on this really long gold. Not really dress. I guess you could say it was a dress, pretty much. I mean, it wasn't a gown, but it kind of was a gown. I don't know. The dress was very. It was one of those. Just you had to have seen it to believe it or understand it. Like it was. It's. Yeah, I didn't. But her set was really cool because she did a mixture of Rent songs and songs from Wicked, and of course she had to put in the Frozen stuff. Now here's the thing, I really did not care for the Frozen stuff at all, because like I just said, where I work at, you know, shows like this come through often. Other things that come through pretty often too are shit, is shit like Disney on Ice. And I just recently had to deal with Frozen on Ice earlier this year. So I guess you could say I'm pretty fucking sick and tired of hearing Let It Go. Even if the woman herself, Miss Idina Menzel, Elsa, Princess Elsa herself, is in front of me belting that song out to the best of her capabilities. And that was great, though, to see, though, too. Of course, all the women in the crowd lost their mind for it. I mean, it just... I'm over Frozen. I'm very over Frozen. I'm very over Let It Go. I'm very over If You Want to Build a Snowman, Life is an Open, Love is an Open Door. I'm all, you know, even the song I really like from the movie, you know, Summer in Summer. I'm just over all that shit. I'm over it all. Fun fact, though, I believe, let me just double check this correctly, just to be correct, Amundo. Josh Groban, he went to a, let me see if I get this right. He went to a school, he went to an art school, I believe, an arts academy, with Josh Gad, who voices Olaf, and Frozen, of course. Trying to find out what school it was. What school was it? Was it possibly the Interlochen Center for the Arts Camp? Was it the Los Angeles County High School for the Arts? Was it Carnegie Mellon University? I'm looking through here. You know what? We're going to have to check it out ourselves. Just give me one sec. I'm doing this live and in the moment. Let's see. Where did it go? Carnegie Mellon of Mellon College of Fine Arts. Okay, so... That's where Josh Gad was. Josh Gad and Josh Groban, both Josh G's, went to Carnegie Mellon College of Fine Arts. Cool. Okay. And I know that because I watched What was the show? It was a show by the actor who originated the role of Aaron Burr on Hamilton. It was a Broadway.com web series he did. It was following him pretty much throughout it weekly. One episode, he had Josh Gad and Josh Groban backstage, and they were just talking and chit-chatting, and that was something they both, Josh Gad pointed out, that they were both in the same class, or they both graduated the same year, maybe from that school, but I forgot what the school name was, but it's Carnegie Mellon College, so, a fine arts. So there's a fun fact. I do know some stuff, alright? I don't want you to walk away from this episode thinking like, wow, what? Well, this was some bullshit. I apologize. Because I'm very flustered right now to really deliver this episode in my normal format. But though I don't... Normally, I know at least a good chunk about the artists I've watched and whatnot. And I don't, unfortunately, for this. I don't have too much for it. So, yeah. Idina Menzel, that's who we were really talking about. So, yeah. She did her Frozen stuff. She did rent stuff, which was great. She did Take Me or Leave Me. The one I really geeked for was Over the Moon. She started with the line, "I had a dream last night." Was it I had a dream, or was it I had a dream last night? I forgot how it exactly goes. But when I heard that, me and very few people kind of squealed. It's like, oh, she's actually got to do Over the Moon. She did this nice kind of funky, nice kind of funky version of Over the Moon that I really dug. She had a really good band too, which shout out to her backup singer / I guess you could say percussionist. She played the tambourine, and she played that tambourine like she was the best tambourine player in the country. I mean, she was literally putting a lot into hitting that tambourine, which, hey, I respect, because, you know, if you got one job, you better do it good. Well, she actually had more than one job. She was backup singer. She joined Adina during Take Me or Leave Me. She did the Joanne part, right? Is that the part? Is that the name of the character? The Joanne part, I believe. Take Me or Leave Me. Let me just double check real quick and make sure I have this down correctly. Okay, I don't wanna make this mess this up. See, yeah, Joanne. I see. I know my rent, damn it. But yeah, she and that was a really good part when they did Take Me or Leave Me, because they her backup singer has pipes. They're really good. They're just both really good. So yeah, that was really good. That was dope. Like I said, she did Over the Moon. That was awesome. And she did, what's the song they did? Oh, God. My rent memory is normally better than this. Finale B, right? I think that's what it's called. Is Finale B? I believe Finale B is where it's "There's Only Us, There's Only No Day But Today." I believe that's it. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. But yeah, I love the part where she did the Rent stuff, because Rent is one of my favorite musicals. Actually, that's the thing. With Josh Groban being a musical person, musical theater person, and Idina Menzel being a musical theater person as well, I think they're both musical theater icons in their own, you know, in their own regard. But I think that was one of the things that was kind of off for me with the show, because I've never seen a show like this. I've never experienced a show like this, a concert, really. This was a concert, straight up concert, that was heavy on the musical theater side. Never really. So that was different for me, to be honest. It was cool to see, but it was different because the crowd was very reserved. The crowd was a bit older. It was a mix of older and young adult. Predominantly white. Not that it matters, but just to give you a clear visual. And they sat down for 80% of the show. So, you know, like, yeah, pretty much 80% of the show. No, fuck that. 90% of the show, they were sitting down. This crowd was sitting down, or just, you know, really more like in their seats for the most part. Like, this was a very different show. So many show tunes, Broadway show tunes in it, and whatnot. Like, it's you know, like Adina and Josh, they came out towards the end, later on during Josh's part of the show. And he did, and the day, he was on a different separate stage, more towards, more in the back of the crowd, on piano. And, it was him, his guitar player on the acoustic guitar, and a cellist, and, him and Adina did, I hate looking up all this stuff. They did the song from Once, the movie and slash musical, Falling Slowly, I believe is the song. Yes, Falling Slowly. They did that song from Once. Which was really good. Which was really good. Because they both have great voices, of course. But yeah, that was the thing. It was just like there was a very musical theater vibe through this entire concert. It didn't feel like a regular concert. You know, and that's actually kind of what I liked about it, because it was different. As long as I've been going to shows, you know, almost 10 years now, like, just going to concerts, like, regularly almost, like, this, you know, this is the most unique and different show I've ever seen, pretty much. Yeah, that's all the, you know, that's about it, really, you know. This was just a really different show from, this is why it's kind of hard for me to, well, it's kind of hard for me to really do this review, because it's not your typical show. I can't really talk about how, you know, how amazing the crowd was. The crowd was very simple. The crowd was very cool, very low-key, just very reserved. I can't talk about the set list, the song selections or whatnot. Well, you know, not too much on Josh Groban's part, even though it was his show primarily, because I don't know his music like that. Other than some covers. I mean, he did a Willy Wonka, he did a cover of Come With Me and You See, where, Pure Imagination, of course, Pure Imagination. He did a cover of Pure Imagination. And yeah, that was, you know, that was really good. That was really good as well. I can't really criticize his performance. His performance was great. You know, he was really good. You know, I wasn't blown away by anything other than his voice and the musicianship of his band. His band was great. He had local orchestra along with a percussionist, drummer, a guitarist, bassist, and pianist as well. Whenever he let them shine, whenever they were just playing and you know, just jamming for the most part, that was some of the best parts of the show, because he has a legit, really tight band. So, you know, there's that as well. But, you know, song-wise, I can't really say if I have favorite song or whatnot, or like, well, he did this song this way, he didn't do it the way it was on the record, because I don't really know his music like that, unfortunately. And I can't really say I would go check it out much. It doesn't really sound like anything I'd really be too big into. That's just me personally. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Back to Adina, though, because I didn't get to, you know, I'm all over the place. But back to Adina, though, I love that she ended her set with Defying Gravity. That was really cool. I really dug that. Seemed like the crowd, seemed like she had half the crowd was with her on her stuff, and the other half of the crowd wasn't really, you know, didn't really know her like that. But, well, I mean, probably knew her, but probably didn't know the song she was doing like that. So it kind of felt like, yeah, like this is the, you know, like, it was a mixture. Like, that kind of, everybody was on that par for the most part tonight. That night, can't really say that exactly. I mean, for the Josh Groban side, because of course it was a Josh Groban show, and everyone was there mostly for Josh Groban. But of course, some people were there, a good chunk of people were there for Idina. I mean, freaking Idina Menzel, you know. But I mean, show was not bad. Show was not bad. I can't say it was bad. I just can't. Yeah. Now, Josh Groban. This is the Josh Groban Bridges tour. I've spent quite an equal amount of time talking about Josh Groban and Idina Menzel. So. What else can I say regarding Josh Groban to really, I don't know, to really fill out this episode, because this episode sucks really so far. I cannot lie. This is shit. Like, I knew I was going to run into this. And I really almost contemplated just skipping the show, but I mean, a show's a show, you know. And you know, now I'm doing this. I just, you know, just gotta be real with it, and just like, yeah, this is yeah. I mean, I really don't have too much to say about this show. It was not bad. It just wasn't for me, really. That's all I could say. I don't know too much about the main act. All I can really say is Josh Groban is a really good voice. The lights of the show were really good. That's something else. The lights of the show were really good. And Josh Groban, he was really good on piano as well. I didn't know he was such a good pianist. He did a little thing once he got on the piano on the back end of the stage, on the B stage, pretty much, which was in the back of the crowd. Messed around for a little bit before he went into. I'm trying to think, what song did he go into? Oh, She's Always a Woman by Billy Joel, yeah. She's always a woman to me, or is it She's Always a Woman? Let me look at that real quick. And by the way, sorry for the clicking. I mentioned this in an episode not too long ago. Sorry about the clicking you're hearing. I'm on my phone, of course, and looking this stuff up as I go. Apologies, y'all. Bear with me. Let's see. She's Always a Woman, yes. I know my Billy Joel to some degree. Yeah. That was really good. That was really good, too. I liked that. So, yeah, I liked when he did She's Always a Woman. I liked when him and Idina did the cover of Falling Slowly from Once. I liked his rendition of Pure Imagination from Willy Wonka. I pretty much liked his covers more than I liked his original songs. I know his original stuff really stuck out to me, where I was just like, I love this. Well, I gotta listen to this song again when I go home. Like, really, there was none of that for me, unfortunately. Not that it wasn't bad, it just didn't stick with me. That's all. Again, nothing was really bad about this show at all. It was just not for me. Like, I feel like this was a specific niche kind of show. Like, this was a specific, you know, a show for a very particular kind of concert. This wasn't just any concert. Like, this was a very particular kind of concert. Nobody can just walk into this. If you go to a live concert like myself, I don't think you can just walk into this kind of concert and be like, oh, you know, it's just another show. I'll enjoy it. No. You have to know, you have to be somewhat familiar with these artists. And I'm partially familiar with these artists. More so familiar with Idina Menzel, even though she was the opening act / special guest. But very partial on Josh Groban, who is the main act. You know, this is his tour, his show. He seemed like a really cool, sweet person. Funny as well. Really nice guy. He seemed like just... Yeah, Idina Menzel, she can dress her ass off. She had some really nice outfits. And yeah, I love me some Idina Menzel. I love Idina Menzel. yeah, you know, I'm not going to try to drag this on anymore. I feel like I've dragged it on enough. On my rating of shows, what does this show get? What does this show get? What does the show get on the show rating? The show rating normally goes, if I say it's not for me, that means it was a bad show. If I say it was all right, that means it was average and mediocre. If I say I will tell a friend, that means it's not bad. Now, if I say I'll see it next tour, that means it was a really good show. But if I say I'll catch the next show, that means it was a great show. Because I'm saying I will catch the very next show. The very next night they perform, I will catch that show. Unfortunately, this show is not these things. Now, normally I would say, I've said this is not for me, but that equates to a bad show on my rating. And this was not a bad show. If you like Josh Groban, if you like Idina Menzel, and you've been curious to check out this concert, this tour, I would definitely say go. I think you'll definitely get your money's worth. They are both very talented. They sound great live. They have great bands, both of them backing them. Oh, another thing. I'm glad I just remembered this. Idina did a cover of, is it Melt With You? Is it called Melt With You? I'll Stop the World and Melt With You. Yeah, she did a cover of that. That was really good. Really good. They were awesome with the covers. I have to say that. Josh Groban and Idina Menzel, they were great with the covers. I love their covers. But yeah, this was not a bad show. Now, yeah, so if I say it's not for me, like I've been saying, that normally means a bad show, and this was not bad. But ironically, my rating for not a bad show is I would tell a friend about it. I really don't have any friends or know anybody that would want to go to the show because it's such, like I said, it's such a specific kind of show. It's not just a regular concert. This is more up in the musical theater type department because both of these artists, they've been on Broadway. They've done musical theater, of course. So yeah. Yeah. So I would say it was all right, which is average, you know, mediocre type show. Yeah, I would say it's all right. It was all right. The show was all right. Wasn't bad at all. Yeah, that's what I'll say about it. Yeah, it was all right. This show was all right. Not bad at all. But wasn't for me. Plain and simple. Now, I think we've spoken enough on this. But we can talk more about it on my social medias at Ghost Doggy Dog. That's GHOSTDAWGYDAWG. And you can find me at that username on Instagram or Twitter. And hit me up there and we could talk more about it. If you're like, why? What was wrong with the show? Or was there anything wrong with the show? Or how come, you know, why don't you like Josh Groban? Or have you listened to this song? If you heard this Josh Groban album, it's great. all that stuff. You hit me up about this episode, feedback and everything regarding the episode. Hit me up there, Twitter, Instagram, at GhostDoggyDog. And it's dog spelled D-A-W-G, not D-O-W-G or D-O-G. And yeah, that's it for this episode, pretty much. Apologies, guys, for anybody, especially if you're a Josh Groban fan. This is not really up my field. It kind of is. I like musical theater. I like Broadway. But this was, you know, Josh Groban, you know, such a special artist that I can't, you know, that this was very different for me. A little more outside my box than I expected. But, you know, hope you bear with me. Hope you enjoyed this review to some degree, this episode to some degree. And, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. And stay safe out there. Go out. Get out. Go catch some shows of your own. You know, just like I caught this show, Josh Groban Bridges Tour. I'll catch the next show. And you just caught this one. And I'll catch you later. Peace, y'all. Peace, y'all. Stay safe out there. And defy gravity.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at Festus. I'm getting paid at exposure.